Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast with Dr. David O. Ogaga.
I'm talking about the glory on the other side. Amen? And you can say this is part two, the glory on the other side. I try to explain to you that life doesn't end here. In fact, the life you see now is too temporal compared to the life that ultimately we are going to live. We are in a fallen state, and God is not intending this fallen state to have perpetuity. Praise the living God. There is a wall on the other side. And I want to reemphasize that the seed you sow on this earth determines your life on the other side. I may probably continue with this next week, because you need to come to the place of understanding of the kind of seed you carry. And I'm going to illustrate some things to us from the scripture this morning. But let's read this 1 Corinthians 15. Started with that, more or less a kind of test for us. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at verse 19. Look at what the word says. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen? If it's just the protection and the provision of Christ alone is the only reason why we are in church, is the only reason why we've come to be called believers, we are most miserable of all men. It means our faith goes beyond just the issue of protection and provision in Christ. Amen? If it is just the good things that you can enjoy alone, that is why you are a believer. You are most miserable. It means there are other things that accompanies your belief outside of the provisions and protections in this life. There is more to life than what this life can offer you. Hallelujah. And it's much more reasonable for us to prepare for the life after, because this one is very temporal. Because even if you live 100 years, it's still temporal compared to living in eternity. God has no age. So you're becoming a child of God, walking in the realm of spirit. We're coming to the place where you live on and on. So, of course, even if you live 1,000 years right here on the earth, it is still temporal compared to what you call eternity, where we talk about where there is no sun, no moon. In other words, no day, no night. So now, our emphasis, our strength should not be on this temporal world. I'm going to be preaching and teaching at the same time, amen? But I want you to catch that. Now let me illustrate this. Go with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I told us on the other side, the other time, that was the first message on this subject. I made you to understand that if you watch the scriptures in the Hebrews, chapter number 12, verse number 1 and 2, the Bible tells us we compass about with so great a cloud of witnesses, indicating to us that all those heroes of faith who have departed, they are alive, and they are watching, they are seeing. Hallelujah. Now, this picture I want to show you here has to do with the king of Syria when he was to war with Israel. Is that all right? 2 Kings chapter 6. Are you there with me? Let's look at just verse 16. Now the king was worried because anytime, 2 Kings 6 verse 13 rather, anytime they wanted to go to war with Israel, they find that anytime they're going to lay ambush or whatever, the secret was revealed to the king. And then the king was worried and said, come on, who among you is leaking the secret unto the king of Israel? And a young man also came to the king and said, no, it's nobody from among us. There is no one betraying the king, but there is a prophet in Israel that reveals all our plans unto who? Unto the king of Israel. And I pray today that no enemy will take you unawares in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the living God. No enemy will take you unawares. The spirit will bring to your understanding every trap, every secret, every temptation that want to come your way to derail you in the name of Jesus Christ. So here we go. Verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is. In other words, go look for where this prophet is, who is leaking my secret to the king of Israel, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was in early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, we are in trouble. You know what? The servant came in the morning, woke up, and saw that everywhere was surrounded by chariots and horses. In other words, they've compassed the place about. They compassed the whole of Dothan about. Now, they have come to capture Elisha. Is that all right? All right. Verse 16. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Can I hear an amen to that? That should be your mindset at any point in time. You have more people around you than one enemy that is chasing you. Hallelujah. Verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee. Oh my God. So listen, when he said, fear not, he already knew what was going on. In other words, Elijah was living between two worlds. He was here and he was there. Do you understand that? He was here as a human being, but he was also functioning on the other side of the spirit dimension. He was living between two worlds. So when he said, fear not, he already have seen what was going on. But the servant was afraid because he couldn't see. Okay. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Amen. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed and said unto the Lord, and said, smite these people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Praise the living God. But what I want to show you is this. Excuse me. There were horses and chariots that compassed the place. They wanted to come pick Elisha. But the Bible made us understand that round about Elisha were what? Chariot and horses in the spirit world. But the servant of Elijah didn't know this, so he was afraid. It shows us something. If you can see into the spirit dimension and what is going on there, your battles can be won easily as compared to when you don't see. Amen? Praise the living God. All right. And I also believe that this is precisely the way God intends us to live our lives. Your life is not just in this mundane world where you don't see into the spirit dimension, because activities are going on. This proves the fact that there are a lot of activities going on in the spirit dimension all around us that you can see, because your eyes have not been opened to see those things. We need to pray that God will truly open our eyes, that even when we walk in the street, we should be able to see where we are going and see things happening around us. Can I hear an amen to that? Praise the living God. So what I'm trying to establish here is that there is another world beyond this world. Is that all right? There is a whole world going out there. Activities are going around about us that we don't see, because our eyes are blinded by this fleshly realm that Adam brought us into. Now, knowing that there is another world, what kind of life ought you to be living? That's what I'm trying to present to you. Because when you drop this flesh, you are moving on. Activities of the other side continues. You are not stopping there. You are not going to just remain in the grave and wait for one day when something, pam, 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 and then the graves open and then you jump out, raptured to nowhere. You're going nowhere. You're moving right into the realm of spirit, and activities of life goes on. Hallelujah. And that is why I want to read this scripture to you in Luke chapter 12. Because you see, we are most concerned with what we can get now. We are just much more concerned with what we can see. I believe in wealth. I believe in prosperity. I believe, name anything, because God paid the price. He became poor that I may become rich. I believe that. Amen. But friends, listen to me. The things you have right here have nothing compared to what you are supposed to be doing on the other side. They are all still what? Temporal. Hallelujah. They are all still temporal. Luke 12. Look at verse 13. There was a discussion going on then. The Bible says, and one of the company said unto him, are you there in Luke 12, 13? One of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, greed. For a man's life, hallelujah, consisted not in the abundance of the things which he does what? Possess. Did you find it there? Luke 12. Luke 12. Hallelujah. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he does possess. So now, if a man's life does not consist in the things which he does possess, what does a man's life consist in? Hallelujah. In other words, wealth is not the issue. Let me read it from the message. Someone out of the crowd said, teacher, order my brother to give me a fair share of my family's inheritance. He replied, mister, what makes you think it's any of my business to be a judge or a mediator for you? Speaking to the people, he went on, take care. Protect yourself against the least bit of greed. Hallelujah. Life is not defined. That's what I love. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Your life, or the definition of life, is not what you have. Praise the living God. Come on, are you there with me? Life is not. You know, when you want to define life, what is life? Oh, come, somebody can, you know, you've had people say, I'm enjoying life, right? So they are defining life based on what they have. But life is not about what you have. Life is not even the abundance of the things that you have. You can have mansions, have whatever, fleet of cars. That is still, as far as God is concerned, not life. What then is life? Hallelujah. Life is not defined by what you have, even when you have a lot. Let a person possesses whatever he may, such a disposition of mind is never satisfied. For as soon as one subject is gained, the heart goes out for another. So be not anxious about obtaining wealth, for however much you may obtain it, it will not prolong your life. Praise the living God. Wealth will come, but don't be anxious for wealth. And that is why people eat the bread of sorrow. Hallelujah. The Bible said they sleep, thinking, waking, and eat the bread of sorrow. In other words, they labor so much to be able to make works. God said, don't be anxious for it. Because no matter how much you have, no matter how many estates you have, they can prolong your life. Life is much more than works. There's a need for you to have the right emphasis and to have the right understanding about what life is. Next week, I'm going to give a clear definition on this, but I just want to proceed today. But life, basically, is Christ. Colossians tells us that, Colossians 3. Christ, who is our life, not wealth. Wealth is not your life. Wealth are tools that you are meant to use to live with. Right here on the face of the earth. But your life is Christ himself. I will explain more next week on that. Amen? Because he says here, wealth is not life. So what is life? Life is a person. Life is God's own life. Praise the living God. Listen, when you truly have life, you will have these things. They are meant to come. Jesus had no business, but he lived. And tremendously, you know what? He took care of 12 apostles and their families. How was he doing that? Because he had life. And everything responds to life. So if you have the real life, things will respond to you. Can I hear an amen to that? That's why I said, don't be anxious to be wealthy. Don't be anxious to pursue wealth. Some of you spend a lot of energy pursuing money and you put God aside. You spend days and days pursuing money. You don't think about God. You're pursuing wealth. But no matter what you have, the Bible says your wealth can prolong your life. Only God can. And that is why the Bible talks about the wealth of the wicked that are laid off for what? For the righteous. It will be foolishness for you to pursue wealth that you can even enjoy. Even if you think you enjoyed it for maybe 5 years or 6 years, that is nothing compared to when people come in to take all of those things you've been laboring for with all your life. Praise the living God. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he does possess. Comfort, happiness, and above all, eternal interests do not depend on the abundance of the goods we have. The true joy of God has nothing to do with what you have. The joy I give unto you, the Bible says, is not like the world we give. Material things can give you joy. We've dealt on that before. Joy can come from certain happenings around you. But the joy that God gives to you, nothing tampers with it. So wealth is not life. Hallelujah. But you need it. We believe it. It will surely come to us. But we have to have life to be able to have wealth. Amen? So we must stop eating the bread of sorrow, struggling to do all things. Now turn to the book of 1 Timothy. There is something I want to make you see this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 6 and 7. Down to 8. There is another world. There's another life. There is something we should be struggling and desiring. There is something we should be desiring earnestly with the depth of our hearts. 1 Timothy 6. Praise the Lord. Look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain. Oh, somebody help me say that. It is what? Certain that we can carry nothing out of it. Have you ever seen somebody who died and then maybe he had plane or they buried him with a little plane? We came with nothing. We are going back with nothing. I mean, think about that. That's why he said, godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. I mean, look at the next verse, verse number 8. And having food and raiment, let us be there with what? Content. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Because it gives you peace, it gives you joy, you're relaxed. Praise the living God. Because you came with nothing. You see little children. You are the one that helps them to clothe themselves. They just come into the world. They came with nothing. And today you are living with absolutely nothing. No matter the ceremony people are doing. Oh, okay. What do you call it? Celebration of life, whatever. Now they don't want to use the obituary. Celebration of life. Is it the man celebrating or the people? Who is celebrating? Is it the man? Is it the dead man? The man is in the corpse here. You're here drinking yourself to stupor. And you're saying the man is celebrating life. Who is celebrating? You are the one celebrating. Praise the living God. He's going back home with nothing. The best you give to him is one wrapper, one trouser, one pair of shoes. And they roll him into the coffin, dig 6 feet, and put him there, clothe him up. Now you are enjoying everything he labored for. Life amounts to nothing, people. You came here with nothing, you're going back with nothing. The truth is, you're surely going to go back. Because the Bible tells me, Ecclesiastes 12, verse number 7, when a man drops the flesh, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. God gave you your spirit. You came here with nothing, you're going back to God, and you're not taking anything here back to God. But the certain thing is, you're going back. God is spirit. So there's a whole wall of spirit out there that we can see. So why labor for the things that are temporal? Why labor for the things that are endure for eternity? Why labor for the things that cannot give you any glory on the other side? Praise the living God. You came with nothing, you're going back with nothing. But the point is, you are going back. That's what I mean. The emphasis is, you are going back. It's certain. There's certainty you are going back. Hallelujah. Turn with me now to the book of 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Some of us live like as if we'd never move out of this dimension. This is just a dimension. You existed before you came here, and you are moving out to get into, continue with existence. Jeremiah 1 verse number 5, Bible speaking, God speaking to Jeremiah and say, I formed you when I formed you in your mother's womb, I called you as a prophet. When I formed you, I knew you even before I formed you. You were just formed that you came in here. Let us form man. There was a created man, there was a formed man. Genesis 1 and 2. Is that all right? The created one was a real man. The formed man was a man of the earth. And so when you are coming here, you are just being formed. But now you are not supposed to, I mean, the way God has designed you, you're not going to continue to remain in this formed shape. You got to go back to the created being. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 6. Look at verse 1. For we know that. I wish I can have time to speak on that. We know. You have to know it. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Are you there in 2 Corinthians 6? 2 Corinthians? 5, please, I'm sorry. Amen? 5, please. Are you there with me now? Praise the Lord. For we know that. Are you there? Can you see it now? Okay, please. Thank you. Now look at this. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle. Are you there with me? Good. Huh? We are dissolved. You know what it means to dissolve something? I don't want to go into the Greek, but let me just come with kind of English. You take your cube of sugar, put it in water. What do you find? It dissolves. It means there is no permanency. There is no strength. Is that all right? Okay. He said, we have a building of God and have not made with hands eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. I want you to know that. There is a heart which can be dissolved, and there is a heart which is permanent. He's describing your state. One is temporal, one is permanent. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being unburdened, not for that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Amen. Now, I want to take this from the message. Listen. For instance, we know that these bodies of ours, that is what is referred as the house now, are taken down like tents and folded away. They will be replaced by resurrection bodies in heaven that God made. You together? In other words, when you drop this flesh, you're going to receive another body. The one made by God. Now, you see, what you do determine the kind of house you're going to get. I'm not talking of John 14 mansions. I'm not talking about that. This is the real house God is building with that hand. The kind of life you live now determine the kind of body you're going to get. I'll prove that to you. But let's read on. 2 and 4 here says, and we'll never have to relocate our tents again. Can I hear an amen to that? No more relocation. So remember, the first one was a tent. Tents are not permanent structures. You don't lay foundations for tents. Somebody who is on pilgrimage is the one that often lives on tents in the early days. They get to a place, they pitch a tent, they move, they pitch a tent. How many? You remember what I'm talking about now? See Abraham moving a pitching tent here and there, shepherd pit tent all over the place, things like that. No foundation. But the Bible is saying, when you drop this tent, oh, you know what that means? You know, when you want to have a tent, you have to have pegs here and there. How many of you have been Boy Scout, Girls Guide, Boys Brigade, whatever? You have to have pegs. Is that okay? When you want to move, you remove the pegs. And then you move. You just fold your tent and walk away. The Bible is saying the life we're living now is likened to what? A tent life is temporal. Few pegs are sustaining you. But the Bible is saying when these pegs roll away, we know. So how sure are you? That's my question. How certain are you that when this tent is rolled away, you have a permanent building from God? That is what I'm talking about. The life you live now will determine how you're going to function on the other side. The kind of body you're going to get on the other side determined by the life you live now. That's the issue. We know. Hallelujah. So we no longer relocate again. Sometimes we can hardly wait to move. And so we cry out in frustration compared to what is coming. Living conditions around here seem like a stopover in an unfinished shack. And we are tired of it. We've been given a glimpse of the real thing. Our true home, our resurrection bodies. Hallelujah. Did you get that? When you talk about your true home, your eternal home, he's talking about your resurrection body. Praise the living God. He says, he puts a little of heaven in our hearts so that we will be able to settle for less. In other words, God gives us a glimpse of what is coming on the other side. God gives us a glimpse of what we can become on the other side. And that gives us the push so that we don't settle on temporary situations. Don't let your life be controlled by temporary things that you're pursuing. There is more to life than this world. Is that all right? There's more. Think about us. We're growing old every day. Do you think God is, man, is that what God is really after? The Bible says we are supposed to be sons of God. Does God grow old? We call him Ancient of Days that doesn't grow old. Am I right? If you, come on. Every creature should bring forth his own kind. So if God doesn't grow old, why do you think you are growing old? If you think you are already the son that God really wants you to be. The Bible made us to understand that Jesus was the seed of David according to the flesh, but the son of God according to the resurrection by the power of resurrection. Can you get what I'm talking about? Sonship is not this. We have the seed of sonship in us, but this is not sonship with the decaying flesh. This is not the true sons of God. Praise the living God. Every human being has, let me say, three stages of life. Is that okay? You're born a baby, you grow, become a youth, whatever, middle age. Let's say, from 1 to 30 is one stage, from 30 to about 60 is another stage, from 60 to about 100. So three stages of life. You come to a place where people begin to help you on the other side. I don't know if you remember what I'm talking about. So, but remember, when a child is born, he's already a child. He has to grow to become something else. Is that all right? The thing that makes the person a child is already on the inside. You are a son of God because you have the seed of God, but there's a manifestation of sonship. Is that okay? When you talk about manifestation of sonship, like the Bible talks about, the creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. I was just looking at something this morning. Some of you didn't observe, but some of you maybe were getting irritated. There was this creature that was watching all through the Bible studies. How many of you noticed? I was just wondering, I said, now I can see what the Bible talks about. In this mountain, they shall neither halt. The lion will lie down together with the goat, and all creatures will come together like it was in Eden. There was no hatred for anything. And all creatures were listening to Adam and hearing Adam. Creatures could hear Adam because Adam named all creatures. Are you still there with me? They got spirit, they can hear. And so when the Bible study was going on, I was feeling that there was fellowship going on because he stepped from the upper stage and came down. He was still concentrating. I was seeing concentration in the face of the lizard. I was hearing the word of the kingdom. He said, these are the people that want to deliver creation. I got a message from that because the Bible says creation was waiting for the manifestation of what? Of the sons of God. They are also tired of being killed. They are tired of being destroyed. Volcanic eruption. They are tired. When sons are manifested, all these things we see. Then you have what they call paradise. Amen. But here we are in this tent body. That's why we must groan to press on to a glorified body. The real house from heaven. As far as I'm concerned, when you can have that house, you are in hell. That is what my hell is. If you can't have the glorified body, then you are in hell. Because he talks about a house from heaven. Praise God. So if you can't see beyond the natural realm, then you are damned too blind like a bat in the night. You need to wake up. You need to get to see that life doesn't end here. You need to get to know that life is not ending here. When you drop this flesh, there is another body. Can I hear an amen to that? And that is what you should be working for. That is what all your labor are tending to. There is something higher than the natural life. That is real reign for sonship. And that is a glorified body. Praise the living God. And I'm going to show you something. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. We need to press on. We need to press on. We need to know that there is a... Look at what he said. And we know. That's the beginning. And we know. 2 Corinthians 5. That it should stir your heart. Do you know? Does it challenge you to know? Do you know? And we know that if this tent... this body is dissolved. We have a house in the heaven. Not made with hands. Hallelujah. Do you know? That's the question. Are you convinced that there's another life and you need to have another body? Think of this one. Gray hair coming, pimples, wrinkles, you know. Teeth losing. Memory. You can't count your money correct again. Begin to call children, come and help me. How much be this one? The other day, you were very smart, thinking that you have it all. Now you are old. People have to help you count the money you are pursuing. Let me tell you that it's a temporary world. Huh? When you have 15 naira in your hand, you think it's 5 naira. You are confused. A certain level of life. Are you getting what I'm talking about? Why are you struggling to keep this stuff? No, man. That's why you need to be talking about immortal life, immortality, because this one is too temporal. The other day I met a man of God, I respected, and he was getting up and he was struggling. You know, he's a prophet of God, in quotes. And I said, Daddy, what's wrong with you? He said, I got arthritis. Oh, man, I got a wrong message in my mind. Painful for that matter. What is all this? Highly used of God, but the legs got arthritis. I mean, that tells you this is too temporal. Manifesting gift, fine. I'm not against that. I don't have any issue against that. I love that, but man, there is something beyond manifesting gifts. Jesus never had arthritis. You sleep, wake up in the morning, my neck is paining me, I'm back. Jesus didn't complain of headache any day. I'm talking about sonship. I'm talking about another body. Can I hear an amen to that? Are you there in 1 Corinthians? Look at verse 35. But some man may say, or we say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool. Thou quick that sowest is not quickened except it die. Hallelujah. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not the body that shall be, but bare grain. It may be chance of wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body. Are you still there with me? As he hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. Look at it. All flesh is not the same flesh. But there is one kind of flesh of man, another kind of flesh of beasts, another flesh, and another of birds. There are other celestial bodies and body terrestrial. But the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is what? Another. Now, when you look at the word celestial, you're talking about the realm of spirit, the dimension of spirit, the resurrected body. They are kind of the celestial body. The terrestrial is what you and I are in. But the Bible is saying, we in this terrestrial, when we are sown into the earth, we come out with what? A celestial body. Terrestrial puts on a celestial body. Is that all right? The glory of the terrestrial, which is terrain, which is this world, is another, as compared to the glory of all of the celestial realm. But there is something I want you to see there. If you read down, you know, it says, there's the glory of the sun, there's the glory of the moon, there's the glory of the stars. How many of you notice that? If you read it down, you're going to see that. That means there are dimensions of glory in the spirit world for each person. Praise the living God. So the question is, what are you going to be? A moon, a star, or a sun? And remember, Jesus talks about people that will shine as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. So in the spirit dimension, in terms of who you are, the kind of body you've received, there is a place like the sun dimension, the moon dimension, and the stars dimension. Hallelujah. Now to me, the sun dimension is like the fatherhood. Because Jacob was a son to Joseph. Come on. Are you still following what I'm talking about? The moon dimension is like the female side. It's like the bride. It's like a woman. Then the stars dimension are like sons. Even in the spirit realm. Because God spoke to Abraham and said, your sons shall be like the stars. Are you getting that? So there's a realm for children. And that's the realm of fatherhood in spirit dimension. And you know, fatherhood are people who create. They give birth. So permit me. Can I say something? I see a situation where sons who move down to the dimension of fatherhood in the spirit dimension can create planets and galaxies. See the question that God asked Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? You should have known. That's the creative ability of fatherhood. Who will you be when you drop the flesh? A sun? A moon? Or just a star? Even in the star dimension, there are various classes and categories. Are you still there with me? But what I'm saying is the body that you're going to receive will determine by the life you live right now. If all your attention is pursuing wealth, I don't know what you become when you get over there. Because life does not consist in the abundance of the things which a man does possess. Amen? I would like to read the kind of body I'm describing now. Okay? Go to the book of Luke chapter 24. I'm kind of teaching. I don't know if somebody's following me because I'm not shouting. I'm not trying to stir your flesh. I'm trying to give you a hope. I'm trying to give you a desire to see beyond religion, to see beyond pursuing money, to see beyond this modern world. There is another world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Luke 24, are you there? Look at verse 39. This is after Jesus rose from the grave. Resurrection body. Rose from the grave, walk into the midst of the house where the children, I mean, the disciples were, and they were afraid, and they said, well, this must be spirit. You know what happened? The Bible made us understand that the doors were locked, the windows, everything were locked. All of a sudden, they saw Jesus right in their midst. And they said, this must be a spirit. And Jesus said, no, I'm not spirit. Look at what he said. Behold my hands. What does that mean? Look at my hands and my feet. In other words, he was showing them the nails. The point at which the nails went through. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. That it is myself, I myself. Handle me. Touch me. And see, for spirit have not flesh and bones as you see me have. Praise God. Spirit have no flesh, what? And bones. But here he had what? Spirit have flesh and bones, but not flesh and blood. What he's saying is, I have flesh, I have bones, but I have no blood in me. Did you get that? Resurrected body don't live by blood. Leviticus, the Bible tells us the life of the flesh is in the blood. That is the natural flesh. But when Jesus rose from the grave as the Son of God, no more blood in his stream. It was spirit. So, what was he possessing now? Flesh and what? And bones. This is the very body that Adam had before the fall, which he exercised in the Garden of Eden. That is where we are going back to. Are you there with me? We're receiving a body which is called a glorified body. This body, sickness does not affect it. Age does not affect it. Nothing natural can affect it. This is the kind of body you can walk through anywhere, move to anywhere. Man, I'm talking about a body that you don't need aeroplane to get to another nation. If you want to eat, fine. If you don't want to eat, no problem. Because food helps you to get blood, but blood doesn't function here. So food is not the issue. But when Jesus rose, he ate fish. And that is why I believe so much in fish, because it's a food for resurrected people. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Meat is for the fallen man. Fish is for resurrection. Glory to God. Is anybody hearing me? I like fish. Want to send me some? Try me. Are you there with me? Otherwise, you're looking at me like that. You want to send me some? Try me. Praise God. Amen? Flesh and bones. Say, hand on me. So I'm not talking about spirit thing. I'm not talking about another world in that sense. I'm talking about you can function in this world with another body. No sickness, no hospitals, no disease, no mosquito bites. Instant repentance. Praise God. Are you here with me, somebody? That's the kind of body I'm talking about. That's a resurrected body. That is what we should. That's a new house from heaven that we read in 2 Corinthians 5. Is that okay? That's what he said. We know. So how many of you know what I'm talking about? How many of you understand that you can put up another body? That's what I'm talking about. We know that if this tent dissolves, we have a house from heaven. Hallelujah. Look at some of our old people. All their teeth are gone. Eh? Like, have you seen your old people? You know, now you like eating meat, then you can't even chew meat. They have to grind the flesh. They have to grind even the flesh of the meat to become powder for you to be able to digest it. That tells you that this is not the real life. God is not an aging man. He doesn't get old. And if you be a child of God, no. You must know that as long as the aging process is on, we have not attained. I don't care what people think. I'm not putting into the future. I'm saying the truth. You can't say this is sonship when sickness is killing every one of us. Jesus was never having a headache. He never told me one day somebody cast headache out of him or healed him of headache. Even the disciples that were following him, I didn't see anyone going to complain that they need to be healed. That's why it's a challenge for us. We claim to be ministers of God, and here sickness is killing us. We still go for tablets and all that, pray for people. Fine. This is happening. Okay, fine. But press on. There is something beyond that. Are you still there with me? Now, let me read this. Let me read this from the message. 1 Corinthians 15. Some kept it. I'm reading from 35 now. Some skeptic is sure to ask, show me how restoration works. Give me a diagram, Draw me a picture. What does this restoration body look like? I like that. If you look at this question closely, you realize how absurd it is. You know what it means to be absurd? It means foolish. Say to ask how resurrection body is foolishness. Look at what he said. There are no diagrams for this kind of thing. Why do we have a parallel experience? We do have a parallel experience in gardening. You plant a dead seed, soon there is a flourishing plant. There is no visual likeness between the seed and the plant. You can never guess what a tomato will look like by looking at a tomato seed. Here we go. This tomato seed. This tomato, is it? Okay. If you cut this into two, you have the seed. Do you plant the whole of this or you plant the seed? Now, when you look at the seed, can you imagine that this is the whole thing you are going to get? Come on, are you there with me? Good. Now, he's saying the seed in the tomato cannot tell you what kind of body you're going to get. But for you to get this tomato as a seed like this, I mean, tomato as it is, I can call this tomato fruit, if you will. Is that okay? You have to plant what? The seed. Now, what is going to be produced at the end is dependent on the seed. Are you calling what I'm talking about now? I want you to catch that. He said that is the way resurrection is. Now, I want you to see this. It simply means the kind of seed you have will determine the kind of body you have you're going to get on the other side. Does that make sense? I want you to capture it because it's very important. Now, you must understand, I'm going to deal with this more next week, but you must understand the real seed that will give you the real body is Christ. So now, you know what farmers do? They just take this seed and just cast it all over the place. Is that okay? And then they come the next day and they begin to see plant growing. And the next thing, they get the fruits. Is that all right? They begin to pluck mangoes, begin to pluck tomatoes. But you see, it is seed that you planted. Now you're harvesting fruits. So your body that you will receive on the other side is the fruit of what you cultivated right here. What kind of seed do you have? What kind of seed is on your inside? That's the question. You don't take this to the farm. You drop what is there. And there's something very beautiful about this. Often and again, it could be one or two seeds, but you can have a harvest of even 100. Are you still there? Because I read the scripture, but I'll also make you say that. But watch this. He said, you can never guess what a tomato will look like by looking at a tomato seed. What we plant in the soil and what grows out of it doesn't look anything alike. Come on, did you get that? So when a man dies and is coming out, it's not the same thing. Hallelujah. The dead body that we bury in the ground and the resurrection body that come from it will be dramatically different. You will notice that the variety of body is turning. Just as there are different kinds of seed, there are different kinds of bodies. Humans, animals, birds, fish, each unprecedented in its form. You get a hint at the diversity of resurrection glory by looking at the diversity of bodies, not only on earth, but also in the sky. Sun, moon, stars. All these varieties of beauty and brightness. And we are only looking at pre-resurrection seed. Who can imagine what the resurrection plant will be like? Praise the living God. Hallelujah! Are you getting what I'm talking about? Everything you're seeing is, this is pre-resurrection seed. We're not looking at a life. It's not this one. No matter how we try to take care of this thing, it's still going. Hallelujah. But as nature, God picks you up as one of the seed, or what I would call a remnant, you may not probably go through the grave like Enoch. You can move on. Hallelujah. You can move on. You can become a kind of remnant in the midst of people. A leftover to showcase the other world. And I believe that so well. You know why? Because before God will ever transit from one dimension of ministry to another, he leads the people to demonstrate the first one. I'll give you an example. Resurrection, I mean, there are basically three feasts in Israel, which is Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Is that all right? Okay. Your Passover is you receiving Jesus, the Lamb of God, that was sacrificed for us. So you partake of Passover. Now, when they wanted to partake of Tabernacles, only 21, the Bible says, 120 were in the upper room. They got the tabernacle, the Feast of Pentecost, they came down and they began to speak in tongues. And people began to see them, that these are a crop of people different from who they used to be. Come on, is anybody following that? They have to first demonstrate what Pentecost is before other people can join them. Now I'm saying the same thing. For tabernacles to manifest on the face of the earth, some people will have to demonstrate it. For others to see that this is what tabernacle is all about. Are you still there with me? That is why you should know the game is not over yet. That you're speaking in tongues is not over. You're doing signs and wonders is not over. We're talking about a people that will demonstrate the life that is yet to come. And that is a glorified body. Is anybody following me so well? So now, final scripture there, Galatians 6. Let's take this and then we're done for today. I'm sure somebody is following me so good. Praise the living God. Look at that. Galatians 6, I'm reading Message Translation, verse number 7. Don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. Mm-mm. Is that making sense to you now? Can you get that? You plant a tomato seed, you're going to have that tomato crop. Is that all right? What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. Wow. It means selfishness and greed are seeds that produce what? Weed. Hallelujah. Now look at the next. All he will have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying here? If you are not selfish towards God, if you are not selfish about the things of God, if you are pursuing God, if you are investing in God, then of course you are investing in the world, real life. Praise the living God. Are you following me? If you allow God to do the growth work in your life, in other words, you've received Christ and allow Christ to develop. You allow Christ to come to the place of maturity. That is your receipt. When you drop this flesh, you're coming up on the other side Christ-like. That's what I told you the other time. You can even use money, the money you save and everything you have, to connect to real life. If you're selfish towards God, then of course you know the kind of harvest you will have on the other side. Hallelujah. Are you following what I'm talking about? That is why I keep on telling you, I will not use gimmicks to tell you to raise money, to do whatever you need to do. No. If you know that every investment you are putting in, you are investing for the other side of life, then you won't wait for me to push you to do what you're supposed to do. Because it's not about me. It's about you and God. Amen. Praise the living God. Are you getting me right? We need to pray for God to break every spirit of greed in our lives. Every spirit of selfishness in our lives. We need to give our lives to God and give all that we have. Let's not have reservation. Our life and that which the Lord has blessed us with is His. It's not ours, it's His. And as you are giving to Him, as you are ministering to Him, you are sowing seed and building up the seed, which is the seed of Christ that's already on your inside. And when you drop the flesh, you're harvesting something that you have sown. Hallelujah. There is life on the other side. It doesn't end here. There's another world. Hallelujah. You call it heaven, whatever name you want to call it. I'm just simply telling you there is a place for a glorified body. Life does not end with this one. Life does not end in the grave. Question, when you drop the flesh, where will you be?
For further information and message order, please call +234 803 4810869. Or you can visit our website at www.gkai.net. God bless you.